Random House Audio Voices presents The Sweet Potato Queen's Big Ass Cookbook and Financial Planner. This is Jill Connor Brown. Don't be misled by the title of this book. It's not your typical Betty Crocker-type cookbook, and it most certainly is not your typical Susie Orman-type financial planner. This would be on account of I ain't Betty Crocker, and I sure as hell ain't Susie Orman. Ask anybody. Oh, there are recipes in here, bunches of them, and they are all quite tasty. You can look at us and tell. But they are not exactly what you would call your haute cuisine. Our experience with cuisine of the haute variety is that it's way too much trouble to do ourselves, costs way too much to have somebody do it for us, and when they do, it looks weird. They're not happy to just plunk it on a plate and let you eat it in peace. It has to be visual. And if it tastes good, there's only enough of it to piss us off. We like to cook and eat by the vatful. Leftovers are some of our favorite food, because then it's like somebody else cooked it, which is our favorite food. We dearly love other people's cooking. We also love other people's recipes, and quite a few of the recipes featured in this book were contributed by members of Sweet Potato Queen chapters worldwide. At press time, 1,725 chapters. The financial planning parts of this book will no doubt be of as much value to you as they have been to us. In other words, for God's sake, get help from a qualified professional. This is a how-not-to book. As soon as we learn how-to, we'll let you in on it. Included in the postscript, for your edification and entertainment, are the official rules and regulations of the recently formed Sweet Potato Queen's Eatin' and Readin' Book Club. See our website, www.sweetpotatoqueens.com, for a continually unfolding panoply of news about Sweet Potato Queen books, events, products, and food, and for scintillating cyber conversation. This is a warning. All of the recipes in this book, new and old, are pure poison. They will make you fat as six pigs, and while they may have positive effects on your disposition, this has indeed been our experience, by preparing and consuming these foods, you are assuming full responsibility for any and all consequences, good, bad, and or ugly. In other words, if you eat this and get fat, or go into a diabetic coma, or die, don't come whining to me about it. You knew the job was dangerous when you took it. As with the tales in my other books, everything in this one, to the best of my knowledge and recollection, is true, much to the chagrin of our collective mothers. Part 1. Queenly Considerations for Big Ass Eatin'. Chapter 1. About Betty Crocker. Merciful heavens, where do we even start talking about Miss B? Is it any wonder that over 50% of baby boomers are on Prozac? Kelly Goley, one of our favorite SPQ wannabes, who sent us the recipe for Love Lard featured elsewhere in this book, went to Restoration Hardware. Boomers love this store, it is our childhood, and found the same Betty Crocker cookbook that her very own mom had received for a wedding present, in which little Kelly had spent many happy days in her youth poring over. The Love Lard recipe is clearly a backlash reaction to the early childhood trauma of being exposed to the Betty Crocker philosophy of feminism. Kelly bought the book immediately because it gave her that warm, familiar feeling of revisiting her childhood. Only when she opened the pages did she realize the havoc Mrs. Crocker had wrought on female America right under our noses. If you are still wondering where we as women got some of the insane ideas we have struggled with and against for the last 50 years, the addle-brained expectations that have been leveled against women from inside our ranks and out look no further than Betty Crocker. I compared Betty's words with those of the anonymous husband who wrote The Good Wife's Guide, also available in the 50s. You'll have no trouble seeing why he wouldn't put his own name on the book. Witness the helpful hints Mrs. Crocker offers us while posing sweetly in a dress with an apron. She exhorts us to perfect our homemaking skills by practicing each task until it goes smoothly, thereby developing techniques for meal planning, cooking, marketing, sewing, dishwashing, home beautifying, nursing, bed making, cleaning, and laundering. She left out yard work, auto repair and maintenance, and carpooling. Of course she did. Women didn't drive much then, and kids walked everywhere. And she also left out supporting the family while doing all of the above. The Good Wife's Guide tells us that our goal is making our home a place of peace, order, and tranquility, where our husbands can renew themselves in body and spirit. We should, therefore, touch up our makeup right before he comes home from work. We should not greet him with complaints or problems. We should make sure the kids are clean and quiet when he comes in. He'll want to look at them, but that's about all. Don't you know he's tired? We should not complain if he's late for dinner or even if he stays out all night. We should count this as minor compared to what he might have gone through that day. Well, all I have to say about that eventuality is that unless there was an earthquake in which he was personally swallowed up and trapped for 14 hours without food and water and with the sound of fingernails on a blackboard echoing in his ears the whole time and ants crawling all over him and he couldn't even move his hands to get them out of his nose, then he did not have a bad enough day to warrant him not coming home all night and me not making a peep about it, and whatever it was that did happen during his arduous day is nothing compared to what will happen when he finally does drag his sorry ass home. But that's just me. Maybe we should speak in a low, soothing voice and make him comfortable. Possibly have him lie down in a darkened room for a spell. They have a nice one at our funeral home. Miss Betty helpfully suggests that we develop good work habits. This includes preparing food for tomorrow while cooking for today. Now, I do cook in vats so we can have my favorite food, leftovers, tomorrow, but Betty was suggesting that we make different dishes all at the same time, or at the very least, make different sauces to go on the same food on different days. I can't even comment on sauces. She also decrees that we must never run out of anything we might need in the kitchen. We do not see her running across three neighbors' lawns with a teaspoon of vanilla and two eggs. Betty thought we should wear comfortable clothes, dresses, and not muumuus either, and properly fitted shoes for doing housework. I get a picture of Betty and her contemporaries being fitted for their housework shoes. You know the shoe salesman would be vitally interested in all the housewives having comfy shoes, the better to wait on his sorry ass in. Indeed, Mr. Crocker probably personally oversaw Betty's shoe situation for just the reason he had the oil changed in the car in a timely fashion, to save on costly repair work down the road, not to mention to prevent lost work days should she, God forbid, get a bunion. Betty worried about our physical needs, but not a whole lot, just offhandedly said we should eat proper food for health and vitality. But every morning before our proper breakfast, we should comb our hair and put on makeup, a dash of cologne, and some simple earrings. We should alternate sitting and standing tasks so as not to be on our feet too long, but should we get tired, she recommends that we lie down on the floor, eyes closed, for a full 3 to 5 minutes. Indeed, there she is in the book, sprawled out on the floor, dress and all. We should always endeavor to harbor pleasant thoughts while working. There was no mention of a wood chipper in the book, so we don't know what she thought about. And to notice humorous and interesting incidents throughout our day so we can relate them over dinner to our shiny, clean, and smiling families. The Good Wife's Guide suggests that in the cooler months we might want to build a fire for him to unwind by and that we might just imagine how catering to his comfort will provide us with immense personal satisfaction. Yes, I can just imagine it, can't you? Betty wanted us to have a simple, appetizing cocktail, chilled in summer and warmed in winter, waiting for our weary husband when he comes home at night. And sure enough, there she is, pouring Mr. Crocker a drink from a pitcher as he sits, grinning like a mule eating briars, with his feet propped up. There is not even a glass for her in evidence. We can only hope that she drained the pitcher off camera. And the Good Wife guy has one parting shot for us. A good wife always knows her place. I myself imagine it to be somewhere far, far away. Financial tip. If you have been in therapy for the last 15 years over your failure to live up to this image of womanhood, not to mention your inexplicable lack of desire to do so, you can save the cost of the therapist and whatever drugs you've been put on by just buying your own copy of
Sample Complete. Ready to continue?